It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and this is the Arab Blues. Arab Blues is the name of a Chicago duo made up of Kareem Nagy and Rami Gabriel. Nagy is a native Egyptian. Gabriel is of Lebanese Egyptian descent. They are both fixtures in the Chicago music scene, tapping into the city's deep well of jazz and blues, infusing it with the traditional music and sounds of their Middle Eastern heritage. First spoke with the Arab Blues back in November when the duo was coming to Central Illinois to perform as part of the celebration commemorating the opening of the Salaam Mina Cultural Center at the University of Illinois. In the coming months, Nagy and Gabriel will be performing in Evanston, in Chicago, Madison, Wisconsin, New Orleans, Louisiana, and later this year in Denmark. Nagy and Gabriel are both with us now. Welcome to the 21st Show. Thank you for being here.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Kareem, I want to begin with you and just ask you if you can tell us, what is the El Tarath?
So the El Tarath, or the way we would pronounce it, Tarath, which is the tradition of Arabic music that people know and musicians study when they're first learning repertoire. So it would be like, you know, the songs of the fake book for jazz musicians, or the Great American Songbook for people who perform in Broadway musicals. So the Tarath is our tradition, our famous songs from around the Arab world that we love to learn and share with each other. And when we get together, most of us know those songs already.
Is there a prescribed way of learning the Tarath?
Yes, by sitting with your teacher for a long time, making them tea, driving them around, fixing their computer if they ask, doing whatever they ask you to do. And in the meantime, they will teach you songs once in a while.
So it's an apprenticeship program.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Rami, what makes the techniques different that you learn in that path, different from what someone might learn, you know, in coming up through the Western music system?
Oh, that's an interesting question. You know, I didn't really come up through the Western music system either, but it has something to do with the tonal range. It also has something to do with techniques of performance. Performance has different functions depending upon settings. But just musically speaking, the oud is a fretless instrument. So the technique, the technique of the left hand has more to do with how people learn violin, in fact, because of small distances and the quarter tone system that we use.
Well, you mentioned the oud. I think that's a good opportunity for me to ask you to just tell us about some of the instruments that you play.
Sure. I play the oud, which is a sort of a fretless lute, pear-shaped body. I also play the buzuk, which is a Lebanese-Syrian sort of bardic instrument, three courses of strings. And then I also play this electric guitar.
When did you start playing? Is this something you took up as a kid?
Yeah, I've been playing for about 30 years now.
Yeah. Maybe this is a good opportunity to listen to another, some of your music. This is a track, correct my pronunciation here, but Opeka?
Yep, Opeka. It's influenced by basically the North African traditions, North African and West African traditions.
All right, let's roll tape. We'll be right back. right, Kareem, can you just tell us, what are we hearing there?
Well, you're hearing a terrific guitar, you're hearing percussion, and in this recording, I'm starting to blend the two types of percussion, which is hand percussion, as well as some of the things you would find on a drum set. So what I play is this goblet-like instrument, which we actually call in Egypt tabla. Some people get confused and think I'm talking about the Indian pair of drums, but actually the word tabl in Arabic means to drum. So it's like a goblet-shaped drum that many people in America call the dumbek. I play also a tambourine with a skin on it, which is called a rek. So these are my hand percussion instruments. But then I've also assembled various drum set items. So I'm playing a drum set with the percussion at the same time, but all of my drum set items are actually percussion instruments like finger cymbals and gongs and hand drums formed into the percussion setup. I have more than one hi-hat to change the textures. And if you see it, you'll understand that it's a bit of a concoction.
No, I have been very interested. I watched some videos of you in preparation for this conversation. I'm a percussionist myself, or at least an amateur. Yeah, and I got to say, it's a very interesting drum kit. Is this something you came to yourself, or is this common in your musical tradition?
I don't think it's common at all. I played drum set as a young Arab American high schooler here in the United States. I played a regular drum set with a regular van that you put it in. And then I stopped playing for about 30 years and focused strictly on the Arabic percussion because it was more consonant with my career. And then in the past years, as a result of meeting Rami and meeting someone who hears this music in our heads in a similar way, it inspired me to pull again the ideas of the drum set to get the feet moving, to get more sounds so that I can properly enhance what he's playing, which is electrified in many cases versions of these Arabic instruments as well. So we're end up being an amplified band.
So Rami, and let me just remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're speaking with the members of the Arab Blues, which is a Chicago-based band comprising Kareem Nagy and Rami Gabriel. They fuse jazz and blues with the traditional music and sounds of the Arab world. Rami, when did you encounter jazz and blues and start to make that part of your musical life?
Well, I started playing jazz, I guess maybe 20 years ago, when I started playing a lot of the music of Django Reinhardt, who is a Roma guitar player from sort of the swing era in France. And then I moved to Chicago about 16 years ago, and I started performing at the jazz clubs in Chicago, a lot of times as a rhythm player, and then also in my own trios and quartets. And then I also, being in Chicago, we had a lot of blues musicians who would join us and who I would work with. And so I learned the deeper blues here in Chicago and the deeper jazz traditions of the sort of reciprocity and the, I guess, the sort of abstract ensemble playing that constitutes the core of jazz here in Chicago.
I was thinking about the Venn diagram of these musical forms, and there's improvisation in both, right? Can you talk about those intersections?
Yeah, I think that's probably the key. The key is improvisation. Sometimes people say, well, how is this jazz? Well, the way it's jazz is that it is improvisatory. We're doing it together. We're going somewhere together. That's the thing about jazz. It's the relationship. It's the uniqueness of the moment. And we have that in Arabic music too. We have a large improvisatory tradition, largely based around something called the taqseem, which is the improvisation on a mode or on a maqam, similar to in the alap of the rag tradition, where we have various ways of playing with these larger melodic systems. But also Kareem and I have developed a way of improvising on any space, not just the melodic space, but heavy rhythmic improvisation. That's one of the things that really moves us, because I'm also a rhythm player and Karim is also actually a dancer, and he's very invested in how we move and how we think of those spaces.
Oh, absolutely. The improvisation is a big part of it, and the journey of the two musicians, and however amount we can pay attention to who's listening or not pay attention or bring them with us, we definitely want to bring them with us. This is all the way that these Western jazz traditions, blues traditions, and Arab traditions intersect. Something about the music and something about the movement of the body as well.
You know, we only have about 4 minutes left in our time together, and I feel like I would be remiss. It's a time of celebration tomorrow. You're coming for the opening of this center, but this is also a very challenging time, and I want to ask you about what's going on in the world. Hamas killing 1,400 Israelis, mostly civilians, and then Israel, the military attacking Gaza in response, killing many thousands of Palestinian civilians. And I wonder how you're seeing this affect your communities, musical and otherwise.
Right. You would be remiss to not mention it. We can never ignore the political dimensions of our lives. And this is a very bad situation that's been going on since 1948 with the occupation of Palestine. And at the same time, every time we as artists or we as people criticize Israel, we are deemed as anti-Semites. And I think that's unfair to make that automatic connection. Every time someone supports Palestinians, they're deemed as pro-terrorists, and that's very unfair to make those automatic distinctions. It feels like bullying. So what can we do as artists? We're musicians. We put these feelings into our music, but most importantly, when we perform, we give people an image of Arabs playing music, being connective, sharing, and in many cases, the reason we are vilified in the United States is because we are not visible in a way that is appealing to people. We are only on the news as villains. And this playing of music, this being an artist, being a human, is very, very important for American people to see, so that they will treat us like creative people, like humans, and be able to understand our side and our suffering, and not just imagine that we are angry people trying to hurt others, which has always been an unfair depiction.
I think that's a great point on which to end our conversation. Karim Naghi and Rami Gabriel are the Arab Blues. Both of you, thank you so much for sharing your music with us today.
Absolutely. We hope you come and celebrate with us tomorrow if you're nearby. The music is very joyful and fun.
My conversation with the Arab Blues was first broadcast in November, so his reference to tomorrow is out of date, but you can find their upcoming performance schedule on the band's website, which is just their name, thearabblues.com. And that's all the time we have for our show today. Visit our website, 21stshow.org. You can find all the ways to contact us. Let us know what you think about what we've been talking about on the program. You can also find links to subscribe to our podcast, or just look us up on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield, Kennedy Vincent, and Jose Zepeda. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We will talk with you again on Monday.